We turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and verse 7. We're continuing to look at Sunday evenings at those things that are referred to in the Word of God as being precious and things that we ought to value and highly prize as believers, not to take for granted. And we are looking this evening at the precious faith. And verse 6, in this view, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needs be, you are being grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This word precious is a favorite word of Peter's. He refers in his letters to a precious Savior, then also a precious blood, and then also the exceeding great and precious promises. But Peter here is writing about the believer's faith and how faith is likened to gold. Metal that is highly prized, sought after, highly valued. When you can think of the programs on television at present on gold divers or gold Yukon or gold rush and so on. Programs where they seem to move mountains just to sift through screen, wash, and end up with flecks of gold, something so valuable, so precious. And Peter has been referring to the joy of the believer in the context of our faith. In verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. And what is he referring to? Well, he's referring to what he's already mentioned, how that there is this great inheritance that is reserved in heaven, and that is reserved in heaven for a people who are preserved on earth, that we are being kept. And we read that we are being kept through faith in verse 5 for that ultimate full revelation of our salvation, all that it entails at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith plays an integral part of our being kept, our being preserved, up until that great glorious day of the unveiling of our full salvation. We sing of that, don't we? Finish then thy new creation, pure, spotless, let us be. May we see our whole salvation perfectly, what restored in thee. And so he refers to being joyful in the way that we are kept in the midst of all the trials, all the difficulties. And the actual Greek word there is an exultant joy. It's not just joyful. It is literally to leap for joy. It's a joy that one cannot contain. A joy that lifts a believer up above every circumstance and every trial. And it is this thought of being kept by God. The perseverance we refer to of the saints. That just thrills his heart. That we are kept by God. I remember reading with R.T. Kendall many years ago when he came to the Reformed position regarding Reformed truths, and when the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints dawned on him. And he writes about that time. He says, I was given a little bit of heaven to go to heaven on. And that's how he saw the perseverance of the saints, that we are secure, we are safe. And we sing, don't we, in that great hymn, happy regarding the angels, the saints in heaven. Happy, but not more secure, isn't it? The glorified spirits in heaven. They're no more secure than what we are on earth. And faith plays a part of that, a very important part of that. Remember our Lord's prayer for Peter when he predicted Peter's denial of our Lord, his public denial. Nevertheless, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Your faith, that is the great issue. That's what's being contended for. And that your faith will be kept. And whenever I think of that passage and you look at the record, you think, where on earth is Peter's faith? Where is his faith in all of that? And it seems to be totally eclipsed. But nevertheless, it is there. It is there and will yet reappear, his faith in Christ. And of course, Peter will write these glorious, wonderful letters. And so faith is our reaching out to the hand of God. And I was thinking this week when little Eli with us is just about managing to stand. And he crawls along the floor and then he tries to, when he reaches out for my hand. And I've got his hand. And now what is holding him is not his grasp of me, but my grasp of him. That's what's holding him. And he might have reached out to me with a faltering hand, but I have got him with a firm hand. And that is faith, that we look to God and trust in God. And again, in that hymn, O love, that wilt not let me go. That will not let me go. And we are kept by faith. Faith in God. Now, well, how does all of that work? And in what ways is faith likened to gold? How is it precious like gold? Well, first of all, gold is something that is highly valued. Highly valued, highly prized is that of gold. And so it is by way of faith. Faith is something that is highly valued. When it comes to eternity, when it comes to the matter of the things of God, faith is something highly valued. In Ephesians 2:18, we read that we are saved by faith. That is how we are saved. That is how we know our sins forgiven. That is how we become children of God. This is how we get right with God. It is by faith, not of works. It's not by anything that we have done, but it is by faith in what God has done in Christ and what God offers us through Christ by way of his word and his promise. And it is that faith that takes God at his word regarding Jesus. We are saved by faith. And so we begin there, at the very beginning of the Christian life. It is a life of faith. We are saved by faith. Or put another way, we are referred to again and again as being justified by faith. And it is a legal term. It is a declaration. It is a pronouncement of God that is never revoked, that can never diminish, that will stand for time and all eternity, that we are cleared of all sin, and that we are now regarded as righteous before God in Christ. And it is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of heaven, that is upon us. And how does that come about? Well, it comes about by faith. It is by faith in Christ Jesus, taking Christ and the gift of righteousness. Paul writes of that, I count all things but loss. All his religious performances and his religious heritage, I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but rather the righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so it is by faith. And this is the great cry of the Reformation, that we get right with God, not through penance, not through the confessional, and not through any pronouncement by priest or pope, but we are right through Christ and Christ alone. Faith in him alone. And so we begin that we're saved by faith, we're justified by faith. We read that we actually live by faith. We are brought to life and we continue to live by faith. Faith is the air we breathe. It's the realm in which we live. It is our very life. The life that we have is the life of faith. And it is the life from above, the life of God. And so we read, the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk, it's taken up again in the New Testament. So faith is something highly valued. We need to understand it first and foremost. It is something quite specific that is referred to. It is not referred to in general terms or anything about which we can be mistaken. Now, the world use faith in that way, don't they, in very general terms? There's this controversial matter at the moment about the Lord's Prayer, isn't there? And whether that should be advertised in the cinema, whether it should be up on the screen in the cinema. And the cinema chains have objected to that. They do not want to offend people of other faiths or people with no faith. They don't want to offend. And so faith is used in that very general term. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in something. But yet when we come to the Word of God, the faith that we read of is a faith in something very specific, something concrete, something set down in Scripture. It is in Christ alone. What God has done, what God offers in and through Jesus, this is faith. And so it is something that is very, very precious, highly valued. It's highly valued as much as we read, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Hebrews, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. It is faith above all else that God looks for and God takes pleasure in. Faith in God's word. And if you contrast that with God's displeasure, and when you take the whole plot of the Bible and you take it as a whole, and you go back to Genesis, and how did Adam and Eve fall, and what was their sin? Well, their initial sin was a sin of unbelief, where Satan comes along, has God really said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden, that if you do, you will die. You shall not die, you will not surely die. And there's a contradiction there of God's word, that you cannot believe God, you cannot trust God. God hasn't your best interests at heart. And the beginning of sin as it enters the world is in the form and the shape of unbelief, distrust of God, that God is holding something back, and that in terms of a warning about death, that God will not follow through with his word. And that's sin as it comes into the world. And in the gospel, the great issues in the gospel tie in and connect with all of this, in that now it's not a warning, it is a promise that is set before us. It's not concerning death, it is a promise now of life that is in Jesus. And through Jesus having died for us, and here is God what extending a message, a word to us concerning his Son and the offer of life, and that we take that by faith. Can you see the connection? How absolutely fundamental and basic faith in the gospel is to get right with God. And so to refuse and reject the gospel is something that is horrific and something that is horrendous. For man, what to reject God and the lengths to which God has gone to in Christ, that he might extend and offer the promise of life eternal. And if we but take him at his word, see the connection. And so without faith it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder, a God prepared to give to them that diligently seek him, come to him. And so in the gospel, on the cross, God is demonstrating, God is showing the complete reversal of the issue that was raised by Satan in Genesis, that God is holding something back. There's something better they can have. That in the gospel, God withholds not his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son is a God who opens up the glories of heaven through Jesus. A God that is lavish in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is something highly valued in that it is in itself something received from God. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 writes in this way, Peter writes in this way, to those who have obtained the like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In the Greek, it's one person there. It's not two persons, it's one person in the Greek. It is one who is God and Saviour, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, and through him we have obtained what the like precious faith. Or, put another way, elsewhere, unto you it is given not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. It is given. Or Paul puts it this way, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And to be brought to that position where our eyes are opened, we see the offer of God in Christ. We are brought to entrust ourselves to him for time and all eternity. And that is something priceless, that is something so to be valued, to be brought to that place. And that word that is used there by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, the like precious faith. It is the one, the continuity of faith. It is the one faith that endures through all the ages, the faith of Abraham. It is the one faith. Those that look forward to a Christ that was to come, and we look back to a Christ that has come, and there is this oneness of faith. It is that which unites us together. We are now of the household of faith. That is what joins us together as the Lord's people. It is the life of God within us, this trust in God by faith. And the Greek word like there, sotimos, means equal honour, to have equal honour, sharing the same privileges. That faith opens up to every believer the resources of God and the wonders and glories of heaven. They're all opened up to us by faith, to a pre-appropriated by faith. Faith is something highly valued. So much so, we read that when our Lord returns, that this will be the first thing that he looks for when he returns. Will there be faith on the earth? Where is the faith? In what hearts does faith reside? Faith in God, at his word, in the gospel, all that is presented in the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be the first great requirement. That's what we'll be looking for above all else. Men and women have faith. Are they being brought to that position of faith? And so we read in God's word, don't we, about the wicked heart of unbelief. Not to take God at his word and all that he's presented in Christ. And so faith is something highly valued. It's highly valued in as much as it is something so rare. Look at the street in which you live. The place where you work. Village where you live. How rare a thing. How rare a thing. Is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something so precious a thing. But that we were ever brought to that position of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Highly valued, of course, in times of trials, times of difficulty. It is this that enables us to stand and weather the storms of life, that we have faith in God's word, we can trust in his faithfulness, in his almighty power. We can trust in a God who will enable, a God who will be with us, a God who will bring us through, a God who will compensate in all our losses. Faith is something so highly valued and prized in times of trial, failing health, approaching death. How important is faith that we have this trust in God? Think of Paul in the midst of the storm, isn't it? Where he stands there amidst the mayhem and the confusion and all the chaos and the fear. And he says, men, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So he is a man that's firm, immovable, steadfast, like a rock. I believe God. It will be even as it was told me. And so faith is something highly prized, highly valued. It is like gold also, secondly, in that faith must pass through a refining process. And that is referred to and described here by Peter. Times of trials come, times of heartache and difficulty. And Peter writes there about heaviness and grief, but it's a very, very emotive word that he is using there to describe what we go through by way of trials. Times when we ask, well, why this? Why now? Why me? And here Peter is giving an answer. God is at work in and through it all. And the actual word for heaviness he uses is to be deeply hurt, internally hurt. That it's not just a matter of adverse circumstances. It's not just a matter of setbacks or difficulties we encounter, but how these things get deep inside us. There's an inner struggle, an inner battle, that inwardly we are contending with these things. And that's the words that Peter is using here. But all of these are part of a refining process. He refers to varied or evi as manifold, isn't it? The actual Greek word is, literally it's a colourful word. It's about something multicoloured. Multicoloured. The thought is there of an artist and of colours that are used, and all the trials. What are they? Well, as an artist is employing colours to and bring them about on her work, and he will put cold colours against warm colours, and then colours that are complementary, and there will be a careful use of variety of colour and bring about a masterpiece. And so it is with God. God is at work in our lives. And we're not finished as yet, but God is at work bringing about something that reflects his creativity and the wonder of his work in our lives. And then he moves on from that, from an artist's studio to that of what the refinery and the refining process by way of gold. Extreme heat is applied. And again, there is skill brought about in this, that what all the impurities are removed, all that passes for gold is taken away, and everything is stripped bare. So remaining is the purity of gold. And so it is with our faith. Faith is like that. Rather, there is much in our lives that can pass for faith, but it's not faith. And then sometimes there's a process we go through, and there's a taking away and a stripping down, and there's an upheaval and a shaking, and in all of that, what happens? Well, there is that which is genuine trust in God that alone remains. And many years ago, learning that acrostic, isn't it? About faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. That is faith. That is faith. Where we come to trust entirely, completely in God. And so in all the trials, the issue is our faith. The struggle that we pass through is the struggle of faith. The outcome, ultimately, is the outcome of our faith. That God in all things is working in all things together for our good. And trusting God in that, believing him in all of that. Not necessarily our material good, but our spiritual good. Not perhaps our immediate good, but our ultimate good. God is at work in and through it all. In the midst of family problems, or personal financial difficulties, or failing health, or thwarted ambitions, bitter disappointments, God is at work in and through it all. I remember reading once by someone, God cannot entrust a man with any great blessing until there is a complete collapse of self. And the end of self marks a new beginning with God. And how often that is. And Paul wrote of that, didn't he? Regarding all that he went through. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our troubles which came to us in Asia. What we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, and who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So Paul is saying, there was a process we went through. We were stripped of self, self-confidence, all self-consideration. We were stripped of self, that we might trust entirely in God and God alone. And there's that refining process that Paul writes of there. And so when we go through trials, what's happening? Well, our faith is being revealed in God, or it is being tested and proven. Or more than that, it is something being strengthened and being enriched. That's what happens by way of trials and difficulties. We learn all the more to trust in God. So faith is like gold in that it's something highly valuable and highly prized. It is something that goes through a refining process at times. But then also, lastly, it is something that has an enduring quality. And that is true with gold, that it endures, it continues, untarnished, unaffected, undiminished. Gold is like that. And faith is like that. And that's what Peter was referring to earlier, that in all of these trials, all of these difficulties, well, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so Paul can write in Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God because of you, because your faith grows exceedingly. It is something expanding, developing your faith in God. It is something that is being enlarged all the time. And we sang that hymn, Fear of Hudson Taylor's, didn't we? And Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. It's not ourselves. And we sang this morning, me out of my sorrow, bondage and night, Jesus, I come. Out of my what sickness into thy health. And the thought throughout that hymn is that we step out of ourselves and into Christ, the wonder of God in Jesus, and that is faith, where we are looking to him and resting in him. And so faith has this enduring quality. Isaiah 45, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fires, you shall not be burned, nor shall the fire kindle upon you. But it is through and through and through that we are going. And as we pass through, we come out the other end. And faith is like that. And I think it was Wiesbe once said, it is not what you are going through that counts, but rather what you are going to. And we go through these things to something else that God has in mind. And we see that with Job, don't we? How Job could say, when he has tried me, when this process is complete, when all is over and done, I shall come forth as gold, as gold. How wonderful. And in this book of Job, with so much heartache and pain, so much pathos, in the book of Job with such darkness, Job emerges here and again with great affirmations of faith in God through Christ. Looking for a daysman, isn't it? Looking for one who would stand between him and God. And what insights we have by way of the gospel in the book of Job. But Job emerges ultimately, not as a bitter, but a better person for it all, isn't he? He is not impoverished, rather he is enriched and he is blessed. And you think of Daniel's friends, isn't it? Remember how they were put in the fiery furnace. They had taken their stand for God, a stand in faith. They took their stand. And what happened? Well, they are put in the fiery furnace. And they assert, don't they, that our God is able to deliver. And even if not, we will not bow down or submit. But they are there, and what happens? Well, there's a fourth. And Nebuchadnezzar is astonished. Who put him in there? How did he get in there? One like the gods. There is one that is with them. The Lord is with them in it all in a remarkable way. The Lord is with them. I know when you read the writings, isn't it, of a Bunyan, Madame Gion, or Rutherford, and you see God is with them in and through it all. And they know the presence of the Lord, they know the joy of the Lord in spite of their circumstances. You read Paul's prison letters, full of doxology and praise. The Lord was with them in the furnace. Not only with them, but of course the Lord kept them in it all, that they were not consumed. They came out untarnished. There wasn't even a hint of smoke or fire. There wasn't even a hint of what they'd gone through, as severe as it was. The Lord kept them in it all. More than that, the Lord, he delivered them in his time, in his way. They were brought out, and the Lord prospered them. They were promoted, and God vindicated. There were divine compensations. That is faith. Trusting God in the refining process, that God is at work, that our faith is something precious. And so in all that we go through, the issue is our faith. Can we trust God's word? Can we rely upon him? Can we find in him our joy? Is he our all in all? Can we walk trustingly with him? And that was the great lesson with the Israelites, wasn't it? They had to learn to gather manna daily, fresh every morning, to live in daily dependence upon God. That was to be their life. That was to be the very basis on which they lived out their lives, on a God who daily provided for their every need, and a God who would direct them, the pillar of smoke, of fire, the God who would defend them, protect them, the God who was with them every step of the way, the God that had somewhere wonderful to take them. They were only to trust in him, go with him. And that is our Christian life. It is a life of faith. And so that is the reward, isn't it? That we live in faith, we die in faith, we overcome by way of faith, that we are known above all things as a people who trust in the Lord, irrespective of everything else. Let's sing a hymn in closing.